just a quick word about Memorial Day and thank the Lord for a country that celebrates or that honors the men who have fallen, the men and ladies that have fallen in war. And Memorial Day is not just a holiday for soldiers, for people that have served in the military, but it's specifically designated for those that have died in battle serving our country. So I want to thank the Lord for our country and honor tomorrow those that have died to keep us free, and we should never forget that. This morning I want to look at something different, but happens just prior to our Revolutionary War, and I've given this story before years ago, but the name of Benjamin Merrill is a name that's really unknown to Baptists today. Benjamin Merrill was not a pastor, but he was a layman, perhaps a deacon, in the Sandy Creek Baptist Church in North Carolina. We've talked a lot about Sandy Creek, and you might remember Shuval Stearns and a few folks from his church in, I believe, Massachusetts, left Massachusetts, and God led him to North Carolina. This would be in 1755. And there Shuval Stearns began the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And they started with about, I'm going to say, 20 people. And it was just really kind of an amazing story. But very soon, that church was drawing people from all over that area. The church grew very quickly to 600. Later, it would number in the thousands. And Benjamin Merrill was one of those that was saved during that time and joined that church. Now, North Carolina at that time was, of course, under the rule of the British. And really a wicked man named William Tryon was the governor of the province of North Carolina. He lived in an ornate palace. Mrs. McGee is from New Bern. I wonder if that palace is still there. But it was considered, he built this ornate palace that he lived in. He was like the king of North Carolina. And He built the palace from 1767 to 1770, and is reputed to have been the finest government house in English America. And that's just kind of to show what he was about, and you will see here he is not a good man. But at that time, the Baptist influence was spreading across the state, as you can imagine, as these folks are being evangelized, multiplying across the state. The Baptist influence is going all across the state into South Carolina, even up into Virginia. And a couple of things were going on. The Baptist church form of government, which is really democracy, is something that was new, really kind of a new sense of government and form of government. Some of our founding fathers would take note later of this, especially Jefferson, but as we've talked about. But that made people start thinking about maybe we could run our country like this, and those ideas were really gaining ground. And of course, this idea that we know there was the taxation without representation, and so this inordinate taxation that was going on, that being levied upon all the people, but especially those that were not Anglicans, and that's another story. But Governor Tryon, he was specifically trying to make people Anglicans. That was the Church of England. And so very treated those that were not Anglicans and would not become Anglicans very wickedly. And one of the things he did was he taxed them in a greater rate than Anglicans. As you can imagine, the fraud and the graft became a way of life among those that Governor Tryon set up, the different magistrates. If you complained against those magistrates, then the full force of the government came down on you heavier. And so it was quite a time in the 1760s and 1770s in North Carolina and parts of Virginia there. Well, again, if you complained, you were subjected to greater persecutions. And as I said, he was determined to establish the Anglican Church. So preachers that were not Anglican, for instance, Quakers and Baptists, were not allowed to perform marriages or funerals officially. Kind of a difficult time. And so the citizens formed a group called the Regulators. And the Regulators were made up of not just Christians, but others. And there really was an effort for their voice to be heard. And they would push back at public meetings. And, of course, they brought the wrath of the government down upon him. And Tryon, he showed himself especially a tyrant, it says, during that time. And he was unwilling to see the regulators' trouble settled, except unless they fully surrendered to him and were in abject submission to him. Those men who were fraudulent and were being unfair to those that were not Anglicans, he held them up. He used them to personally persecute these men that were called the regulators. Well, Merrill was not only a member of Sandy Creek Baptist Church, but he was a regulator. And I guess he was pretty vocal because on May 27th, 1771, three divisions of Tryon's army, numbering about 3,000 men, they converged upon Merrill's plantation. They took him by surprise, and they captured him and whisked him away to Hillsborough, North Carolina. On June 16th, he was tried, and he heard the sentence of death pronounced on him in these words. He said, the magistrate said, "I must now close my afflicting duty by pronouncing upon you the awful sentence of the law, which is that you, Benjamin Merrill, be carried to the place from which you came, and there you be drawn from thence to the place of execution, where you will be hanged by the neck. That after that you will be cut down while you're yet alive." And then he describes what they're going to do to him while he's dying. I won't read that here. "And your body will be divided into four quarters, and this will be at His Majesty's disposal, and the Lord have mercy on your soul." Now, this seems like a little overreaching punishment, but evidently Merrill was an outspoken leader of this group, and the governor was going to really come down on these people. And we can't begin to realize the pain in this terrible scene that took place. Historians say that his wife and young children were there for the sentencing and how terrible that must have been. But this is one of the great untold stories of history, I think. He was executed in June of 1771. And really, that martyrdom caused the exodus of the Baptists from that area. Remember, they started with about 16 to 20 people. It had grown quickly to 600 and more. After this execution, after this deed, that church went to almost a handful again, but not because people quit the Lord and went away from the Lord. What happened was, just like in the book of Acts, how that after that great persecution, the book of Acts, that the church spread and the people moved, sometimes in panic, but to leave that area. And in doing so, they built homes and they went into other areas and began to spread the gospel. I want to read you a verse from Acts chapter 8. It says, this is right after we're introduced to Saul, right after the stoning of Stephen. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And that's exactly what happened here, as these people were persecuted, and specifically because of this execution of Benjamin Merrill, these people spread into Tennessee, into South Carolina, to Georgia. They turned some of them into Virginia, and the blessing of God really rested upon their efforts. And this is that great migration that begins what we now know as the Bible Belt across the South. And it was from this church and that persecution, and specifically this execution, that these dear people were spread across the South, really bringing the Word of God and Baptist doctrine across the South. And as I said, this is one of the great untold stories of history, just a terrible story as far as what happened to this man, but a wonderful story of how God works in his providence. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for this man, Benjamin Merrill, his leadership in that church, and for his testimony. And I want to thank the Lord for what he did because of that, scattering those people across the South. All right, ushers, if you'll come, we'll take our offering. And Jessica's going to play "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." So if you want to follow in our hymn book, 388 in your hymn book, you can follow the words there. Paul, would you pray for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we